Well, praise the Lord. So good to be in his house today. What a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord with the children's choir is joining with us. You know, that's the future. That's the present, but that's the future. And so, as already mentioned, please encourage them this morning and just thank them for their ministry. Amen. Joel chapter 2, beginning of verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. An incredible set of verses. Be glad. Rejoice, you children of Zion. Rain. You know, thank God for rain. Verse 23, the King James Version, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. I love how the King James Version reads, and this word, moderately, the early rain according to right, the rain in just measure, as the ground naturally requires. You know, the Lord knows the need. The Lord knows the ground needs rain. The Lord knows how much rain the ground needs, and this provision for the bud. This just measure, this right measure, correct measure, righteous measure. He has given you the former rain faithfully. The footnote in the New King James Bible, teacher of righteousness. The Wycliffe Bible reads, and the sons of Zion, make ye full out joy and be glad in your Lord God, for he gave to you a teacher of rightfulness. The Good News Translation, he has given you the right amount of autumn rain. The Darby Translation, and ye children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in Jehovah your God, for he giveth you the early rain in due measure. There is an important truth here. Isn't it true that our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we need? Many in this place today can testify of the Lord's faithfulness, how they received the former rain, the early rain. And there are those that are receiving it and shall receive it. I hear the line from Proverbs. Perhaps you've read it as well. Feed me with food convenient for me. What are we seeing here? Moderately. Teacher of rightfulness, teacher of righteousness. The right amount. Due measure. God knows the seasons. The CEV, people of Zion, celebrate in honor of the Lord your God. He is generous and has sent the autumn and spring rains in the proper seasons. Proper rain in the proper seasons. The proper amount, the proper measure. You know, this is important. What if in autumn the spring rains fell? And what if in spring the autumn rains fell? These differ in purpose and intensity. The ESV reads, "Celebrate, you people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, because he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains." The footnotes in this version, "or he has given you the teacher of righteousness." The word used here for autumn rain sounds the same as the word for teacher. Life-giving rain, a symbol, the showers of blessing. The autumn rain, the early rain, was essential for the grain's initial growth. The spring rain, the latter rain, was essential for the heads of grain to fill out before the harvest. Essential rain for the essential season, for the initial growth, for the filling out. We read similar words in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 to 14. "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain. I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil." The Message paraphrase, "If you listen obediently to the commandments that I'm commanding you today, love God, your God, and serve him with everything you have within you. He'll take charge of sending the rain at the right time, both autumn and spring rains, so that you'll be able to harvest your grain, your grapes, your olives. Rain on the land when it's needed. Early rain in the right season. Latter rain in the right season. It sounds like, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, God knows the season, and he has created it as such that autumn requires early rain and spring requires late rain. This holy design, his holy design. Leviticus 26, 3 to 4, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce." The autumn and spring rains in the Bible are critical. Critical for the physical nourishment, sustenance of land. And these also serve as powerful symbols of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness, his blessing, and the spiritual vitality that he offers to people. God is faithful. Perfect track record. God is faithful. And we are rightfully responsible for faithfulness on our end. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 to 15, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent." Let's remain humble. Let's stay humble. Keep praying, seeking his face, turn from wickedness, loving and serving with gladness, faithfulness, because God knows the seasons. God knows this season. God's been providing rain for a long time now. I think he knows. I know he knows. If this working of God was altered, adjusted, distorted, messed with, what would happen to harvest? I share these words. The planting and harvest seasons in Israel were just the opposite of ours. The first rains, which softened the ground, were from October to the end of December, just before the planting season. The last rains ripened the harvest and fell from March through April, just prior to reaping. It is important to note that these two outpourings always had to do with the harvest. The Spirit's work is always focused on the harvest. Hosea 6:3, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. God's Word translation, let's learn about the Lord. That's a good line. Let's learn about the Lord. Let's get to know the Lord. He will come to us as sure as the morning comes. He will come to us like the autumn rains and the spring rains that water the ground. The Amplified Classic, yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let us be zealous. Zeal. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish him. And the Amplified, so let us know and become personally acquainted with him. Let us press on to know and understand fully the greatness of the Lord, to honor, heed, and deeply cherish him. His appearing is prepared and is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us. Take heart, people. God knows the season we are in now. Right now. God knows the season we are in. Corporately, collectively, individually. He knows the season each church is in. He knows the season each couple is in. He knows the season each family is in. He knows the season of every son and every daughter. And he knows the rain, the exact measure of rain that we need. That the harvest of whatever it might be realized. Too much would affect the harvest. Too little would affect the harvest. And so he is giving us just measure, right measure, righteous measure. But God, it's not enough. But God, it's too much. But God, it's not sufficient. But God, it's excessive. But God, it's too dry. But God, it's too wet. How about we drop the butt and align with God? God, it's just measure. God, it's right measure. God, it's due measure. God, it's righteous measure. God, it's proper measure. God, it's just right. Has it not been written? Godliness with contentment is great gain. The Spirit of the Lord will bring the illumination today. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness actually is a source of great gain when accompanied by contentment. That contentment which comes from a sense of inner confidence based on the sufficiency of God. Yes, contentment is the particular jewel of the beloved of the Lord. Lord, you know the season I'm in right now. that we are in right now, you know the exact measure. You know, God. You know exactly the measure of rain needed. All that worry would be displaced at the center of lives today. Anxiousness, fretting, so too discontent and dissatisfaction. Jeremiah 5:24, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. The Wycliffe Bible reads, and they said not in their heart, dread we our Lord that giveth to us rain timeful and lateful in his time, that keepeth to us the plenty of harvest of the year. And they did not say in their hearts, let us fear the Lord our God, let us revere the Lord our God who giveth us timely rain and late rain in its time, and who giveth us the plenty of the harvest every year. What might the rain speak of? God is faithful, and with just measure, he takes care of us in each season, according to each season. He knows exactly what we need, and he knows the amount we need. Now, we're going to broaden our thinking today. And if we broaden our thinking this day and consider what rain might speak of or speak to, let us think in this manner for a few moments. God has given us time. Are there not 12 hours in the day? And yes, time is currency. Allotted days, years, and so forth, this gift. God has given us provision. God has given us devotion. God has given us desire. Tracking down this vein, let's call these rain. Time, provision, devotion, desire, passion and passions, these are all gifts, are all gifts from the Lord. Isn't time like rain, this blessing of God to fall upon the earth? Thank you, Lord, another day to serve you. Isn't it so, time, this blessing, this gift, this rain to fall upon the earth in just measure, that every field of life be fruitful and come to maturity, full corn in the ear. Our days are in his hands. Too much time, rain, given to the wrong thing. Unjust measure. Too little time, rain, given to the right thing. Unjust measure. Too much provision, let's talk finances, rain given to the wrong thing. Unjust measure. Too little provision given to the right thing. Unjust measure. Too much devotion given to the wrong thing. Unjust measure. Too much. Too little devotion given to the right thing, unjust measure. Too much desire given to the wrong thing, unjust measure. Too little desire given to the right thing, unjust measure. And so if we went to God and honestly asked him for his assessment concerning measure, he would provide us. And he will provide us with his perfect judgment. You see, if I give too much time, this gift of God, this blessing of the Lord, as the Christian deems it, to the wrong thing, can I expect a just measure harvest? If I give too little time to the right thing, can I expect a just measure harvest? No. No, I cannot. And so we ask these questions. Is there too much of anything in our life right now, and it's affecting harvest or will affect harvest? Or too little of anything in our life right now, and it's affecting harvest or will affect harvest? You see, with God, there will always be just measure. It's when we try to help God, or rather play God, that things go awry. We might speak of the human frame. Overconsumption of things can be detrimental. Underconsumption of things can be detrimental, even deadly. We might speak of energy. And thank God for energy, how he quickens these mortal bodies of ours. A supernatural energy for the Christian. Too much energy to things that should receive less. And too little given to things that should receive more. You say, it sounds like I'm in control of the rain. This typifying of rain we are touching on. If there is unjust measure at play, then yes. Yes, you are. What if we went to God and asked him what he suggests the just measure should be? Because if we just took time as an example, if things are out of measure, something is going to suffer. The bud won't produce the blade, and the blade won't go on until there is full corn in the ear. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be in control of the rain on my life and in my life. I'm leaving the rain measure in the hands of God. No artificial rain, no cloud seeding. He's the God of rain. You know, humanity has a real hard time with just measure. There's this tendency of too much or too little. Only just measure can produce the best quality harvest, the best possible harvest. Let's keep with time for a moment. Time is a gift. Time is a gift of God. Lord, what's right? Lord, what's just measure? Teach me, Lord. I'm a Christian, and I'm in a season of education. God has called me to a particular vocation, and so I'm enrolled. I'm in the program. The years, the semesters, the classes, the work, the studies, the tests. I'm in a season of education, and I'm a Christian. Remember, I'm a Christian. I can't leave off the things of the faith, because if I do, this harvest will suffer. So, I must learn to be diligent concerning the rain time God has given me. If I'm not diligent, the harvest of one or the other will suffer. In this season, I might need a readjustment concerning right measure. A student starts missing church to study because they use study time for hang time. A student leaves off praying for the books because they use prayer time for entertainment time. Or a student misses church for sports time instead of missing sports time for church time, because, of course, sports time can't receive less rain time in this season. But what would God say? And so in this season of life, there is unjust measure of rain time given to Christian walk. And so, too, it would be foolishness to be giving unjust measure to hang time when it should be study time. Take care of God's time and he'll take care of yours. Balance, people. Balance. Balance. You see, God doesn't want any harvest to suffer. But because we want to help God out, or rather play God, harvests indeed do suffer. And often we wonder why. It's because we're in control of the rain. the balancing act. Learn just measure, and no harvest will ever suffer. And so, if there's too much of anything in our lives right now, is there? Is there too much of anything in our lives right now, and it's affecting harvest or will affect harvest? Or too little of anything in our lives right now, and it's affecting harvest or will affect harvest? If this is the case, we need to come back to aligning with God and allow Him to speak into our lives. The rain could speak to many things, and God knows the amount we need. And God knows the right amount that should fall on each section of life in each season of life. You know, we should actually go to God. We should actually, truly, contrite form, humbly go to the Lord and say, Lord, do I have too much of something or too little of something at work in my life and it's affecting harvest? And Lord, please show me, please tell me what is the right measure, that just measure. Help me in this, Lord. Help me to know what your just measure is, your right measure, that I might be taught in righteousness, that the just measure might teach me righteousness and keep me in righteousness, that no harvest suffer. Search me, O God. Psalm 139. 23 to 24, investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Is there any discontentment concerning the just measure of God? Now we're getting back to the more common thought. I'm in this season, God. Yes, I know you are. And this is what you need. This is the proper rain for the season, the proper amount. But God, I want more. Son, daughter, I know what you need. I'm giving you rain that is sufficient for you and sufficient for the season. Proverbs 30, 8 and 9, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. No, Christians, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Not even in abbreviated form. That's the tongue of the world. Clean up. Food convenient for me. Rain convenient for me. How about, don't go there. How about wealth convenient for me? It speaks to many things. You see, God knows what would hinder us. What amount would wreak havoc in our life and world, would cripple our family, and ruin the future generation. But what do we care? Do we care what God thinks? Give us more, God. We can handle it. It won't wreck us or affect us. These words, when he giveth seasons propitious to the harvest, let us thank him for it. And if at any time he restrained the blessings of the elements and loadeth the air with blight and mildew, let us fear and tremble before him and humble ourselves before his chastening hand. That which is convenient for me. So true. Rest assured, my dear hearers, it is harder to know how to be full than it is to know how to be hungry. To know how to be hungry is a sharp lesson, but to know how to be full is the harder lesson after all. So desperate is the tendency of human nature to pride and forgetfulness of God. The Spirit of the Lord will touch on this today. There is an epidemic of too much rain, unjust measure in Christianity today. Part of a local church. And in the past, you drank in the rain that was provided for the place. The just measure of God. Part of a local church, and in the past, there were no other real outlets of getting rain, getting fed. Unless you took a trip, or ordered a tape, or bought a book. Now, it's all on the World Wide Web. And what a web it is. And people are caught like flies. Unjust measure. And doctrine is messed up. Unjust measure. And unity is starting to wane. Unjust measure. And your church is looking lame. Unjust measure. And the pure doctrines are looking lackluster. Unjust measure. And your shepherd looks like a loser. Unjust measure. And don't need the place as much. Not content with the convenient food, not content with the rain, not content with the right measure of God. Grass is always greener on the other side. Just make sure it's not AstroTurf. You know that too much rain injures plants? Compact soil leads to erosion, root loss. Can you hear the Lord? Leach the nitrogen out of the soil. We also have an epidemic, a crisis of homelessness in the kingdom today. Into this church for rain. Then to that church for rain, then to the next church for rain, and then to the next church for rain, like this place for a meal, and to the next place for a meal, and so on. Here, there, and everywhere, and no home. Waterlogged. Think about this. Seven churches in Revelation. They each received a different message because they each needed a different message. Well, I'm from Laodicea, but I like the Philadelphia message better. I'm from Pergamos, but I like Smyrna's message better. Oh, but hang on. Doesn't it say, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches? Yes, concerning these, the canon of Scripture, they all are for all of us, and we should take note of the seven messages. But Pergamos needed Pergamos's message, and Laodicea needed Laodicea's message. You see, what's happening today is that some, and with some, this is what's happening. It said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, has destroyed the ear for their own church. And it's the message they really need because that's how God works. I'm in Sardis. I attend Sardis Church. And so the pastor of Sardis Church makes his way to the pulpit, the podium, and begins to preach what the Lord has given for the people who attend Sardis Church. Let's listen in as rain begins to fall. Revelation 3, beginning at verse 1. And to the angel, the messenger of the church of Sardis, write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Harsh! Don't like it. Get me a podcast. I want a one-strain message. I am not dead. My works are just fine. Tell me, preacher. Tell me it's all good. Tickle those ears. I don't like you much. I'm going to go gather some other voices. Harsh. Don't like it. Check out what the preacher was preaching in Ephesus. Nope. Don't like that one either. Oh, but look. The one who has an ear to hear in Sardis is just drinking in the rain, drinking in the word of the Lord for Sardis Church that Sunday, their local church, and hears hope in the message. Be watchful. Yes, Lord. Strengthen the things which remain. Yes, Lord. Thank God there are things that remain. Remember how you've received and heard. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the names that have not defiled their garments. Lord, I want to overcome. I want to be clothed in white garments. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to his church. You know, I don't know if you've read the book, but they put the prophets to the sword. We don't like what Noah has to say. Isaiah, don't care much for his message. Jeremiah, don't care much for his message either. Nehemiah, can't wait to get to the New Testament. But guess what? The greatest prophet of all, not a prophet, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Guess what they did to him? They put him to the sword in the shape of a cross. They didn't like what he had to say. So they hung him up. They hung him up. Remember the day of your salvation? The visitation of grace and mercy, the hour, the moments, the very place and space, and there the precious Savior reigned upon your soul. These beautiful words, what bliss it was to feel that we were saved. Our hearts danced at the very thought of full salvation. The only fear was that it was too good to be true. Our faith was exceedingly strong. Christ upon the cross was always in our view. We had no experience then to set in the place of Christ, no sanctification to mix up with his righteousness and our justification. Our belief in Jesus was very simple and childlike, and consequently was very comforting. And we were very, very happy. Oh, how blessed prayer was then. Then we did really talk with God. Then we did not need to whip ourselves up to our closets to pray. We only wished we could stay upon our knees all day long and talk our hearts out to God. We little cared then whether the place of worship was hot or cold, whether we were seated or standing. We cared only for the gospel. We would have gone over hedge and ditch to hear a sermon. It did not signify what was the style of the preacher. If he was eloquent, we did not hear him for his eloquence. We loved the gospel too well to care about oratory. If a plain-speaking man told us of our master and his love, we liked it all the better for his plainness of speech, so long as we could but see his master. To hear anyone talk of a precious Christ and of pardon bought with blood and of full and free salvation was heaven to us. If in those days we had to suffer anything for Jesus, we only regretted we could not suffer more. We did not run out of the way of reproaches in those days, but were almost prepared to court them for his dear name's sake. That was the early rain. The seed had just been sown, and the master, to make it take deeper root and spring up faster into the green blade, gave us the sacred shower of his love and presence. The early rain. For some of us, even now, the day, the hour, the moment's green and fragrant. The wonder of the budding, so fresh in our minds, aromatic bliss. The early rain. The time has passed. As time inevitably does. Seconds have turned to minutes. Minutes have rolled into hours. Hours have delivered days. Days have comprised weeks. Weeks giving months. Months giving years. Years, decades. And here we are this day. Thank God for the early rain. We wouldn't have broken through the earth and wouldn't be standing if not for the early rains. Worship ministry, please come. So thankful for the early rain, this early rain. Never stop thanking them for this type of early rain. And yet, there is the need in the life of every Christian, the need for the latter rain. Yes, the late rain. People of God, we have not come to the end yet. We have not been gathered as a ripened stalk of corn into the great storehouse of glory. By God's providence, we are still here with our remaining allotted days. The budding, the green blade, the growth that has been, the result of the early rain. But we must grow still and continue to grow. The blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear. We need the latter rain to fall upon us. We need, want the latter rain to descend upon us. A pining for the latter rain, a desire, a thirst. And we know that he pours water on the thirsty. Even floods, streams, in just measure, he pours out his spirit. Be glad. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Let's go on. Let's go on and grow on to maturity. The roots. The roots, the stalk, the nodes, the leaves, the ears, the husk, the kernels, the tassels, the silk. I share with you the words of Charles Spurgeon. Alas, the danger of every Christian worker is that of falling into routine and self-sufficiency. We are most apt to do what we have been accustomed to do and then to do it half asleep. One of the hardest tasks in all the world is to keep the Christian awake on the enchanted ground. The life, the power of our public services and private devotion speedily evaporates. The tendency of this present time and of all times, soporific, that is causing sleep, making a person want to sleep. The life, the power of our public services and private devotion speedily evaporates. We pray as in a dream. We praise and preach like somnambulists, that is a person who walks around while sleeping. May God be pleased to stir us up, to awaken and quicken us by sending us the latter rain to refresh his weary heritage. All that we might be more than ordinary Christians. Much above the ordinary, as the ordinary is much above the worldling. A more than ordinary congregation. A more than ordinary standing of corn. Lord, we ask for a more than ordinary latter rain. Latter rain of renewed grace and grace upon grace. Well, one says they are mature. And so they present their Christian license, pointing to the date of their long ago conversion. However, age does not dictate maturity. And even the aged in the latter years of life need latter rain. We need the present presence of God, the move of God to fall upon us. We need the rain that falls in the sanctuary. We need the rain that falls in the place of worship and praise and prayer. Heaven forbid, God help us, heaven forbid that in the latter years of our Christian life, we adopt a manner that is more ordinary, a manner, a way, a custom, a routine that keeps us out of the rain. Oh, you don't attend a church, you're not planted, you're a potted plant running around, you're just trying to get rain everywhere, you're not serious. You can quote scripture, you can quote all the scriptures you like, but did you leave out one? Didn't he say, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some? But so much more as the great day approaches. You know what? We're the closest generation to the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I think we should maybe attend church. Just a seed. I'm not here to be liked. Really doesn't matter much to me. Further words of Spurgeon. The plan Satan seems to have adopted is not that of attacking our doctrine, but that of preventing, as far as he can, our raising in our midst a race of eminent and advanced Christians. Pharaoh said, destroy the male children. Satan seems to say, stop the male children from fulfilling their growth. We are well enough in our way after the common run of manhood. We believe in Christ. We love him and contribute something to his cause. We preach and we pray. We are a respectable sort of people after a way, but we do not grow to maturity or attain unto the first three. We have in this age but few giants in grace who rise head and shoulders above the common height, men to lead us on in deeds of heroism and efforts of unstaggering faith. Fulfilling their growth. You say the devil stole the rain. No. The devil can't steal the rain, but he will do everything he can to keep us out of the rain. You come into church, I just get the picture in the spirit right now. You come into church and you're like, I don't really like it. And so you pull out your umbrella, your raincoat, put on your rubber boots, and you just sit there. Dear God, I can't wait to get out of this place. This rain is for somebody else, but it sure ain't for me. And then you walk out dry. And you wonder why you don't love the people and love the house and why unity is waning and you don't really want to go to church and you're not like, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And you're just like, you got no taste for it. You got no flavor for it. You don't really care anymore. Other things are more attractive. And so, now God help us. You know, I remember being young and sometimes you heard a message and you're like, I want to pull out the umbrella. But I remember those times when the Spirit said, shut the thing. Because what you're hearing right now is what you need, son. You don't think you need it, but you need it because I'm trying to help that no field suffer and that every field of life receive a just measure harvest. The harvest the Lord wants. The harvest the Lord wants. Just a bud, just a blade, just a stalk, just a husk, just an ear, no full corn. The Lord hears you. I'm just. The Lord knows. Let him lord the harvest. And it must be said today. And we'll end with this. Just because there's rain doesn't mean we're just. It doesn't mean we are of the just measure collective. And until we are, the standing corn, should there be any, is not of redemptive nature. Check with God. Matthew 5:45. Listen to this. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Wouldn't it just be great if, you know, only the just measure Christians, only their yards received rain and sun? I mean, everybody would come and ring on your doorbell. What in the world's going on? You'd say, let me tell you. But no, the Christian, he can walk outside and he's like, this sinner who doesn't go to church and fertilizes his yard on Sundays and takes care of it and does all these things and has no concern for God, his grass is so green. And look at mine. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The voice, he causes the rain to water the fields of the righteous and the fields of the sinner. The J.B. Phillips New Testament, he sends his rain upon the honest and dishonest men alike. The message, this is what God does. He gives his best. The sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. The rain falls on the just and unjust, that there might be a reaching out to the unjust, that they might turn to the Lord of the rain, the Lord that gives rain to those that do not love him, do not serve him, do not want him, even hate him. Is this? Wow. Well, let's stand in the house of the Lord.